Let's turn again, shall we, to 1 Peter. We'll just quickly read through what we've covered already. I trust that if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you've been ready to admit that you need glasses, that you need to get your sight sorted out. Very hard for us to admit we need glasses, isn't it? Yes. My son of 22 has just found, to his dismay, that one eye isn't the same as the other, and haven't seen him wearing them too often yet. And we're so like that, aren't we? And you can see just why Peter says here, you know, if you don't recognize these things and do something about it, you're really like someone that's blind. And I trust that that our hearts are open to what God has to say to us. Let's just together ask God to speak to us. Let's pray together those words very simply. Lord, speak to me. Let's pray. Lord, speak to me. Amen. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of God, our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone doesn't have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon be put aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Isn't that just beautiful? You can see, can't you, the man in these words. And I guess that's why he wrote this down. I guess that's why he wrote Mark's Gospel, so that we would always, through Mark, as we believe that it was Mark was recording Peter's story, and he wrote these things so that people would have before them always these clear instructions. Peter here just gives us, just speaks to us, I believe, just like a father, doesn't he? I was reminded of that day when he walked on the water's edge, and Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And that's what he's doing, isn't he? We see how obedient he was to the word of God and to what Jesus had said to him. Sheep. Recently I heard a friend speaking who had been brought up on a sheep farm. Now I have never had very much to do with sheep, but she assured us all as we listened to a very delightful interpretation of Psalm 23. She assured us that sheep are stubborn and hard to manage and just really not very pleasant things at all. I think we get this kind of marvelous sheep, and we think of the little woolly lambs and all of that. But she said sheep are always obstinate, always needing direction, always wanting to go off and do what you don't want them to do, and they're in constant need of care. And of course they always need feeding, don't they? We all do, mind you. We don't always need feeding with those scones, do we? But and so Peter says, look, in the light of all Jesus is, and all that is available to you in him. So, in the light of all this, I want to keep on reminding you. I could see myself talking to my son, saying, Harold, I know that now you're a man in your own right. And you have your right to make your own choices. And I totally respect that. But I do want you to remember this. Isn't that the way we feel? You know, you think, oh, I'm going to be rid of it. But you never are. No matter how old they are, there's still that little word coming through, isn't there? And we never stop being parents. And to our parents, there's a sense in which I think we never stop being children. See, a loving parent is unable to free himself or herself from the demands of love. And here is Peter living the commandment to love one another and to love others as yourself. See, never free of that incredible demand of love. Everything has its two sides, doesn't it? There's the privilege and there's the responsibility. And here Peter just lovingly reaches out, and you can just sense his deep father love for his fellow believers as he pours this out to them. And, you know, again, there's this incredible thing of how real Scripture is. It isn't in any way pretense. We see a real man of God speaking out of a real heart of love as he is moved by the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, look, you never get beyond needing to come back to square one. He says, these are the facts. I'm going to put them before you. I've witnessed them. They're attested by the Scriptures. We need to come back, and I want to remind you of them. I know that you know it. I always feel so much like that when I come here to speak to you. I know that I can hardly say to you, I'm quite positive, a thing that you don't already know before you came. And that's true, isn't it? I'm sure today I haven't said anything you don't already know in your head. But see, it's more than that, isn't it? He says, I know you're established in the Christian life. Well, I guess most of us are. We're established in the, I presume, probably every single person here is established in a pattern of Christian living. Going along to worship, going along to Bible study, baking cakes for luncheons. Oh, I went to Waitara this last week. What fabulous sponge makers they are. Yes, we're all, you know, we're all established. And yet, we still need to come back to square one. We still need to go over the basics. We still need to enter into and live truth. I often think of the elder brother in the prodigal son story. He started off so good, didn't he? He did all the right things when his young brother left home and squandered all his money and did all those dreadful things. There he was at home, working hard every day, stayed under his father's roof. You know, he did all the right things. But in Scripture, he stands out of one of the characters who was so wrong. All the patterns of behavior were right, but he was so far from his father, locked up in a prison of his own self-righteousness. I think, you know, talk about Scripture being true. You've met him, haven't you? I've done this and I've done that, and you never did this for me. When this son of yours comes, look what you did for him. You know, I mean, it's so true to life, isn't it? It's not when my brother comes home. When this son of yours, I mean, you know, he is so real, isn't he? As he steps out of the pages of Scripture. So right, but so wrong. We don't see him weeping with his father at the lostness of his brother. And we don't see him rejoicing with his father when his brother returns. You see, no matter how much we know, no matter how much we're established in a very real sense. We need, my dear sisters, to come back to square one. And Peter knew it, and he loved the people under his care. And so he unashamedly again revealed his love and his knowledge of human nature. And also he reveals again the truth that he had experienced. And he speaks with such love and strength and humility. How teachable this man became. And how therefore able to teach. Because we sense this incredible humility. And he speaks with such uncluttered truth. Doesn't he? Not all kind of sort of cluttered up. And I trust that we will come to his writings with that same humility and teachableness as he wrote them to us. And he says, look, come back to square one. Don't consider yourself above all of this. Don't think, oh well, I've done that, that's fixed, you know, so now I'm a woman of God and, you know, I'll just get on with all the pattern of what that, the busyness of life, you know, sometimes I wonder if we should stop it all. Sometimes I wonder if we should just clear away all the meetings in the church and sit down and say, why do we do this? What is our reason for existence? Are we achieving our purpose? Or are we just keeping the wheel spinning? We're just perpetuating the pattern. Why do we come away to Tootley? Great to see old friends. Great to have a good old yarn together. What was the vision when this began? Was it to come away and have a good yarn together? I'm sure that was part of it. Was it that you might have time to hear God and work through how to be women of God in the midst of life? You know, things that you've done for 24 years can become habit and pattern, and you forget the reason for your existence. I never forget in that film, Guns of Navarone, that I saw 100 years ago, about, they were about resistance movement in Greece, wasn't it, or something? And right near the end of the story, the girl's brother turned around a corner and came face to face with a German soldier. I mean, they were the enemy. And they just stood there and they looked at one another. And didn't do anything. And then the German whipped out the gun first and shot the brother. And when the girl was reporting it, I said, what happened? How could he get shot? She said he forgot what he was there for. In that split second, he'd forgotten who the enemy was, and he was there to destroy him. And that sentence in that film has haunted me through the years. In the midst of all the activity of Christian life. And oh my goodness, there's so much of it, right? And we have to be very careful in today's world where the family is being attacked at every turn that we are not accentuating the problem in the house of God because everybody's off here, there, everywhere doing all these things that are absolutely, in the end, often, you know, nothing to do with what Peter's speaking about here. So, my dear sisters, let's get back to square one. I know that you know it. I know that you're established. But is there something more? Do we need to consider in our hearts before God why we are here and what it's really all about, being women of God? Oh, that we might be fair dinkum and mean business and begin to really be what we know and have the courage to evaluate our lives and evaluate our organisations and begin to look at that society out there that is desperately, desperately, desperate. But we close our ears to their cries and we keep in our cosy world and we're too afraid to speak and we're too afraid to share as we ought. And as I prepared the other day for the meeting, that Friday meeting, God said to me, this is the best kept secret in Australia. The good news of Jesus. Is the good news of Jesus a very well kept secret in the world in which you live? How many times does God present us with a magnificent opportunity to speak, and in fear we draw back? We don't have this unashamed love that Peter had. Love for him and love for a lost world. And we need to get back to square one. We need to look at the core truths and get hold of them and begin to live them. Because we are children of the King of Kings. We are indwelt by Jesus. All that he is available to us to be his women in this lost world. And Peter moves on now from this saying, come on, I know it, but I'm still going to remind you. I know that I haven't got too long. And life goes like that, doesn't it? I haven't got too long, have we? Peter knew he was going to be martyred, as Jesus had told him. When he was bothered about somebody else, Jesus said to him, don't worry about him, Peter, you just get on with the job. And that's what he says to us. We're only here for a moment. As I hold my daughter's children in my arms, I think, Lord, I could believe this was my child more than I could believe it's hers. The years have gone so quickly. See, we don't have long. And if we don't get on with it, who's going to? Have you seen the Muslim temple being built in Auburn? Have you read the statistics? I heard the other day, I was told this by someone who seemed like they knew, that there are more Muslims in this country than Baptists. That is true. My dear sisters, like that, this is going to be a Muslim country. Your grandchildren could live in a Muslim country. And whose fault will it be? Will it be those dreadful Muslims? India heard the gospel in the first century. India. We've got to get on with it, my sisters. It's time to come back to square one. It's time to really look at what Peter's saying to us here and mean business for God. I feel the pressure of this in my own soul and the challenge in my own heart in the world in which I live. And Peter moves on to give us his own testimony. Let's have a look. He says, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am very pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He said, look, I saw it. I heard it. I know. Is that the way your testimony is? I'd like to put out a challenge to you. This weekend, every single one, write your testimony. This weekend, while you're here. We can only speak what we know. We can only give away what we possess. Do you have a testimony today, an up-to-date one, that you can share? Write it out. And let's, when we have lunch together, when we skip the puddles, when we sit and yarn and have our cups of tea, let's say to one another, how did you come to know the Lord? What does Jesus mean to you? And let's see if we've got a first-hand testimony to share. I mean, do you like reheated TV dinners that you buy on the supermarket shelf and throw in the microwave? Or do you like beautiful fresh vegetables, just cooked, and fresh meat straight from the oven? Which do you like? I suddenly thought of tea bag tea in a cup that's cold and like coloured water, or a beautiful fresh brewed pot. They're two entirely different drinks. What is your Christian testimony? Something you have to take out of the freezer and put in the microwave? Or something fresh from the market today? See, this is what it's about. And if you don't have a fresh one, Jesus is here, longing to come again into your heart, free you of the things that have bogged you down, and fill you with Himself. He is life, remember? He is godliness. All the things that we need. Is it all become old hat and boring? Better go to Tookley, I guess. I'd really sooner be at home this weekend. I've got so much to do, but I guess I ought to go. Oh, it'll be good to be there. I'll see my old mates. Too true. Where is the vitality of a love relationship? What was exciting about being with Cynthia here? She was so in love, and it was so exciting. I've been just doing a series of Bible studies with women in my church on Song of Solomon. And one of the tear-holder women, she said, she's just absolutely glowing. And she said to me, Glenda, I've fallen in love with him all over again. Is that our testimony? Are we women in love with Jesus? Do we have a first hand testimony to share as Peter did? You can feel the vibrancy of it in his words. He's saying, I know that he is God. I've experienced what it is to live by his divine nature. My dear brethren, you can too. Because Peter was flesh and blood just like us. He was an ordinary man. If he kicked his toe, it hurt. If he sliced his finger, it bled. He needed sleep and food and all the things we do. Flesh and blood, just like you and I. And he was indwelt by the same Holy Spirit who indwells you and I. And all that was available to Peter is available to you and me. We can have as much of God as we really want. Have we got a testimony? Do you know that Jesus is God? Do you know that he is your Saviour and Lord? Well, write out your testimony and let's share it all we can with that first-hand experience. And then Peter goes on to talk about the Word of God. He says, and we have the Word of the prophets made more certain. You know, I've known it all my life, he says. I learned it in synagogue school. I could recite it. But now, since Jesus has come, that word is more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried on by the Holy Spirit. Peter says, not only do you have the testimony of your own experience, but the other wing of truth is the Word of God. And God has not only given us His Word through His precious Holy Spirit, He has attested to the truth of it by what we have seen in the person of Jesus Christ. I thought about Peter on the day of Pentecost when I read this. Remember when he stood up and spoke out the gospel to that vast crowd that were gathering in Jerusalem that day, and he quoted from prophet after prophet, didn't he? He quoted from Moses and from Joel and from Isaiah and Ezekiel, and he quoted from the prophets that they knew, that he knew, that had all been brought to life by the presence of Jesus and all that he had seen in him. Brought alive, the word caught fire. as Peter had known, come to know and experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit on that way, on that day. And God's word is light that lights our path. I love the scripture in Proverbs that says, the path of the righteous is as morning light going on until it's broad day. You know, the best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made, as the poet described it once. The path of the righteous is there, shining through the word of God. Is that what the word of God's like to you? See, what I can remember when it was. But I don't know, lately, I just seem to read and it's just words. I remember my son saying to me when he was a little boy, "Gee, Mum, I wish there was another story in the Bible. I've heard them all so many times." Your children ever come home from Sunday school like that? Is that what reading the Word of God's like to you? Or does this presence of the Holy Spirit light up the Word as it speaks to your heart? Is it the words of love from a loving Father to His beloved? Do we need to come again and fall in love with Jesus? Come again so His word is that precious love letter from our beloved. My beloved is mine and I am His, and His banner over me is love. How precious every word of a love letter is. Do we need to come again to the scriptures? To recognize that the scriptures, he points us to the prophets. And the prophets received God's word, not in a passive sort of way, but actively received it and wrote it and proclaimed it for you and I to read, as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And it's the same for you and I. The word of God isn't to be passively received, but received with an eagerness of heart that takes hold of it and then moves out into the living of it and declaring it. Men moved by God with a deep desire to be utterly controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because in the end, God's method is people, isn't it? You and I, filled with His Spirit, declaring His word. Last year, I think it was, Scripture Union in their magazine, they had as their slogan, "If we don't tell them, who will?" I think I've said that already today. But that is what this is all about. If those that know God's word don't speak it, who will? This is the responsibility laid upon us. My dear sisters, do you believe that this is truth? Do you believe that there isn't a situation in life that you can find that it won't apply to? Do you live that? Do I live that? Do my reactions in the midst of my life prove that that's what I believe? Do we really live like we believe that though the waters overflow us, we won't drown? Do we really believe that the fire will rage around us, but we won't be burned? That's what living this word is about. In the midst of where we are, saying, "God, your promises are true. This isn't too hard. All that you are is available to me. I will believe you and live in that positive hope and expectancy." My dear sisters, do we need to go back to square one? Do we need an up-to-date, vital testimony? And is my experience verified by the truth of the Word of God? I really believe that God is speaking to us, and that when He speaks is the time to act. That's all I have to share with you from this passage, because that's the truth that the Lord's laid on my heart to share. In the rest of the time we have, let's examine our own hearts. Let's consider basic truth. Let's write out an up-to-date testimony, verified by the truth of the Word of God, and let's be ready to share it.